Welcome back to the Getting Grit Podcast. I am Brad Pohl, your host, and this is where we tell the stories of sinners and saints. Two men are having a conversation one day, and the first guy admits that a man named Jesus Christ was crucified on Calvary. But the same man can't accept that Jesus is God, the Messiah, prophesied about in the Old Testament. Then he mentions one of the last words of Jesus on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" from Matthew 27. Second man asks, "Do you realize what you're saying? Those are the opening words of Psalm 22. Well, the first man, not knowing, responds, "So what?" And the second man answers him, saying, "All the Jews who were there at the crucifixion recognized that. And embedded in that psalm is a description of what's happening right in front of their eyes. The people at the cross deriding him, wagging their heads, the dogs at his feet, the nails through his hands and feet, his parched tongue, dividing of his garments by casting lots. All of this was written about by King David 1,000 years earlier, and now it's happening in front of them, right at that very moment." Men see and hear the truth right in front of their eyes, but they will believe in superheroes long before truth. Jesus was born in an insignificant town to a poor family in a rock-hewn stable, yet his biographers contrast him with Caesar Augustus, wealthiest ruler of the known world. Sometimes great truths are best told through great stories because they can say things to us and against us without infringing on our ego. We are not often offended when, in a world full of wizards, warriors, and magical elves, that the smallest, least conventional heroic characters are the ones who save the day. But it was in Tolkien's epic scene where the newly crowned King Aragorn bows down to the hobbits, and every single hero of Middle-earth follows suit. We can easily accept the story of Spider-Man, that Peter Parker is useless in real life, so much so that he could never even claim the rewards of his heroism, because he had to keep his identity secret. We quietly see ourselves as the same type of hero, yet one might say that Peter Parker attempts to save the world far more often than we do. Or Mowgli in Rudyard Kipling's The Jungle Book, a significant, unlikely hero. Mowgli will never be as strong or swift as the animals around him, yet he becomes their leader. Why? Because he can look them in the eye. And we recognize this like a fixed point, like the North Star, reminding all of us of what we wished we possessed. What is it that makes us love the underdog? Do we see a bit of ourselves in the last kid who gets picked, the one who could somehow one day be the superhero? I remember when you're having a great old line, massive bodies, guys who could really move. We had a right tackle, All-American, 6'4", wanted to be 6'5", but still 290 on a lean day. 6'6 at the left tackle, 6'4 and 6'3 at the guards, talented, gifted players. And we had a 5-foot-nothing, 200-plus-pound nothing at center. We called him Schwarzkopf because the Gulf War was going on then, and he made all of us better on our way to the title. Stories about someone small and seemingly unimportant or the overlooked who actually end up being the one who stands tall in the critical moments. Some say you can't really understand Jesus without understanding the Old Testament because the Jews anticipated the Messiah as big. Yet the prophets depicted him as a man acquainted with grief. He came to us very small, and he exited our story brutally stricken, yet at the same time, the conquering hero. Bishop Fulton Sheen said, "What our Lord really said to us on the cross was to forgive our Pilates who are too weak to defend our justice. Forgive our Herods who are too sensual to perceive our spirituality. Forgive our Judases who think worth is to be measured in terms of money." Jesus didn't say, "Live your truth." He said, "I am the truth." Jesus didn't say, "Follow your heart." He said, "Follow me." Jesus didn't say, "Good people go to heaven." No, he said, "Those who believe in me will have eternal life." Jesus didn't say, "Be what you want to be." He said, "Be who I called you to be by abiding in me." Being called into God's task force, we must be reminded of certain things. Father John Baptiste Chatard explains, "Zeal will only get results insofar as it is united in the action of Christ himself. Christ does all the work, as they say. He does all the heavy lifting. Our Lord does not give his blessings to enterprises in which men place trust in human means alone. He does not give his blessings to enterprises that are kept going solely by natural activity. Cardinal Robert Serra makes the point against the desire to please the world, replacing it with a desire to be what God calls us to be, saying, "Keeping our hand in God's hand is the guarantee of true benevolence without complicity, true gentleness without cowardice, true strength without violence." Some might want to say, we are not wizards, warriors, and magical elves. We are simple people, really. We are the least conventional heroic characters who could ever save the day. But the answer to this is no. We are much more than this. When Marcos Ugarte, 14, and his father raced inside a burning house to save an 8-year-old boy who was trapped, Marcos got a ladder, climbed it, and got through the window, guiding the 8-year-old out to safety. Wells Crowther, known at the time as the man in the red bandana, was just a rookie equities trader from Nyack, New York. He helped 10 people to safety as the building collapsed around them on 9/11. As a fire blazed inside a single wide trailer, Tyler Doohan was able to wake and rescue 6 people from inside. Then Tyler went back to save his grandfather. Tyler was only 8 years old. A 15-year-old Azaz Hassa was outside his school when he noticed a man wearing a suicide bomber vest. Hassa confronted the bomber, wrestled him to the ground, preventing him from entering the school. There were almost 2,000 students in attendance that he saved. It is never too late to become the man that God intended you to become. You're never too young or too old, never too unhealthy or too busy, never too rich or too poor. God used Noah knowing he would get drunk. God used Jacob knowing he would lie. God used Moses knowing he would murder. God used Rahab knowing she was a prostitute. God used Jonah knowing he would run away. God used David knowing he would commit adultery. God used Paul knowing he would prosecute Christians. What superhero quality do you possess that sets you outside of God's task force? And what would make you think that God couldn't use you when you are just the wizard, warrior, and magical elf he's looking for? Ain't it so? This is Getting Grit signing off. Blessings to you all. Dominus vobiscum.